Grab that Bible. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. We'll read this responsibly. I'll read the odd verses. You'll join me on the even verses. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse number 3. And we'll work our way down to verse number 11. We'll pause at any punctuation that comes. John chapter 8, starting in verse number 3. Let's begin. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the forgiveness that you offer. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, long ago on the cross, you died for us. Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given us, or this is the day that you've given us, you've made, Lord, for us. I ask you, please help us, Lord, to lift you up and to glorify you in everything we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Here in John chapter 8, we'll come to it in a moment, but Jesus is on the Mount of Olives teaching people who have come to hear him teach and preach. While he's there preaching, the Pharisees, by the way, that's the equivalent of liberals. These are the liberals who wanted to be God instead of letting Jesus be God. They stop him in the middle and they drag a lady in front of him and said, Look, we have this woman and we've taken her in adultery in the very act. And then they challenge Jesus. They said, According to the book of Moses, it says that she should be stoned. But what do you say? And the Bible says, He stooped down on the ground and just started doodling in the sand as though he heard them not. They pressed him and he stood and he looked at him and said, Let him that hath no sin cast the first stone. And got back down and started writing in the sand. What was Jesus writing? Who knows? Who cares? The Bible says that they, being convicted, started leaving from the eldest to the youngest. That's typical. Older people should have more sense, not according to what's in the White House. But let's face it, an older person is going to catch it a little faster than younger people do. We've been through the battles of life a bit more. We've made those mistakes many times. But I want you to notice something. First of all, if she was taken in the very act, where was the man? Amen. Hebrew law required both to be stoned, not just the woman. These liberals quote Moses and They're trying to use scripture against the word of God. In the words of that famous American, Gomer Pyle, dumb, dumb, dumb. Jesus said nothing. Then, when he finally did speak, these liberals couldn't say a word. They just start leaving one by one. Here's the truth I want you to get today. Jesus chose not to speak. He let his silence do his talking for him. Too many times we let our mouth get in the way of right and wrong. We talk too much. Between Facebook, social media, texting, phone calls, somebody says something, we've just got to insert our opinion. I think one of the stupidest things in the whole planet is people putting comments at the end of some kind of text or whatever, you know, sound in on. Have you ever read all those stupid things? Whoever reads all of those? Well, I want to buy this. Do you realize that 98% of those aren't real people? It's the same person, just changing wording a little? Now, you have to understand something. Why does your opinion matter? Amen. My mama's in heaven. I won't get in trouble. And dad's homesick. So, forgive me, Mom. But opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and you pick your own. What makes it so important that everybody know what your opinion is? Did you know in the scheme of the world, my opinion doesn't matter? What God says matters, not what I think.
That's right.
Anyway, there are times when it seems like God doesn't speak in our life. Have you ever been in one of those times where it seemed like you're waiting for God to talk and He wasn't talking? I've been there. May I say this? Most of the time, we misread God's silence. Amen. A lot of times we take God's silence as judgment or that we're doing wrong. But it's not true. Most of the time, God does it to get our attention. There's something I used to teach preachers and teach teachers and college and different things. One of the greatest tools that a teacher can use is silence. You let a teacher walk into a room full of kids that's going crazy. Make their presence known and not say a word and watch it. The teacher that walks through the door, you punch it! And starts screaming over top of them, they just lost the class. My wife is an amazing lady. She's had to put up with me for 35 years. But I've watched her with a group of 25 third graders in a gymnasium filled with 100 kids. My wife, if you're not standing 5 feet from her, you're not going to hear her. She doesn't speak loud. She never does raise her voice. She just has one of those voices. But I promise you this, I've watched it happen. A gymnasium full of kids playing ball, balls bouncing, people bouncing, everything. She'd say, third grade, line up. And they were all over this whole gym floor. And I'm watching 20, 25 kids go brrr. I'm thinking I was 4 feet away from her and didn't hear. How did they hear? She learned the art of silence. She learned the art of speaking quietly. You see, sometimes that's to get our attention, to see if we're listening. God wants us to slow down long enough to listen so that we'll obey. I want to give you today 5 times when God does not speak. 5 times when God does not speak. Well, we saw it here in John chapter 8 that he chose not to speak against these liberals who were accusing a lady of wrongdoing. Number one, God does not speak when he has already spoken. God chooses not to speak when he has already spoken. May I say something? He's not going to speak to you again until you start doing what he said the first time. God gave us the word of God. These are not man's words. Matthew 4:4 says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God spoke every word of the Bible. He gave it to man word for word. He didn't put the thoughts into man's mind because our minds are filled with sin. God is not going to trust his word to the mind of man. Don't trust any word to the mind of man. Amen. But may I say something? He gave us the words. Men were simply the secretaries who took dictation and wrote down what God said. I've taught this on Wednesday night a little bit. I rebel a little bit about calling Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the four gospels. There is only one gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew didn't write it. He penned it. God wrote it. Amen. Everybody doing okay? God gave the words. Go through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." My wife got our grandson a book, and she actually was able to record her verse reading it page by page. Oh, he loves that book. That's kind of what the Bible is. God recorded it, and it's God talking to us. Yes. That's the best way to illustrate it. 1 John chapter 1. It's all the way back. You don't need to turn there. I'll turn there. Read it out of the King James Bible because that's the only one worth reading. It's the one God wrote. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. I love this verse. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." Capital W on word. What is that? John chapter 1, verse number 1. "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God," capital W, "and the Word was God," capital W. The same was in the beginning with God, in verse 14, "and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and Jesus is the Word of God." When you start messing with the Bible, you're messing with God. We don't need to find new truth. We just need to obey what God already said. Amen. May I say this again, and I say it quite often. I'm not interested in the things in the Bible God did not say. I'm busy trying to figure out what he did say. What he did not say wasn't important enough for him to put there. Why are we worried about it? Too many people want God to speak to them when the answer to their problem has already been spoken. Most of the counseling that I do is helping people and showing them what God did say and how they're not obeying what God did say. Everybody doing okay? Hang in there. Why would God say it again? Those of you who have reared children, you know what I'm talking about. They hit this stage about two. Why? 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 You never thought a child could ask that word so many times. About 4 or 5 years old, they start figuring out some of the whys. And then they hit 13. Why? Why? With a different attitude. You know, the only difference between a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old is 10 years. They walk the same. They talk the same. They think the same. Their brain falls out their head, and they find it in a few years, hopefully. You know, there is not enough said about the revealed Word of God. Right there is the revealed will of God for your life. If you will do what that book says, 99% of the time, you won't have any questions from God. You've seen it in Bible college. I've done it as I've taught in Bible colleges and trained people. Well, I'm waiting for God to show me what to do. I'm going to wait here till God shows me what to do. Well, bless God, if you're not doing anything, He's not going to show you anything. You know, I've learned God has a way of showing me what not to do faster than He does what to do. I counseled an assistant pastor recently, and I said, Doc, I'm going to tell you something. Go try that. You'll find out whether you should or shouldn't. I said, don't always determine it by what you feel, because your feelings will let you go astray. I said, based on your feelings, you want to go do this, but God will show you whether you should or not. He was checking out another opportunity, and 2 days in, he texted me, said, can I call you? I said, you may. He said, I'm in a mess. I shouldn't be here. I said, really? I said, 3 days ago, you told me you thought this is what God wanted. He said, preacher, he's showing me I shouldn't be here. I said, that's exactly what I told you. He said, I'm starting to understand it. I said, good, get out of there. Don't think about it. Just leave. He said, but I said, just get out of there. It's not God's will. Figure it out. I said, you stay busy and God will show you what to do, but more apt, He's going to show you what not to do. Okay. I know missionaries, they surrender to go to the mission field, and it takes them 6 years to figure out what field to go to. Just pick one, and if it's not the right one, God will show you. I know there's guys sitting back at college that graduated with you. They're still sitting in church waiting for God to show them what to do. 7 years later, they're still doing nothing. God's not going to show somebody who's not doing anything what to do. He's going to take the doers and say, you're doing it. Let me move you over here. How about we just get busy doing what God said? As I said, with Brother Nick and I were out knocking doors yesterday. I had to make a visit, and there happened to be about half a dozen doors at this apartment. I wasn't sure what apartment number to knock, so I started knocking all the doors. Preacher, yeah, you can't knock on the wrong door. I might not have the right address, but I can't knock on the wrong door. I talked to people that it wasn't the right house that I was looking for, but they got the gospel. Say, why, preacher? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Boy, that's exciting. Amen. You know, these are God's words. God said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I tell you something? I wonder how many people in here have read every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Well, I love the Bible. I live. Okay, how much have you read today? Hang on. I just went from preaching to meddling. Yep. Change gears. Speed shifting, amen. We talk about how much of it we love, but how much of it have you read? I'm going to make a statement here. God doesn't care how much of it you even know. How much of it are you living? We're not going to get judged by how much we know. We'll be judged by how much we do. Amen. There's people in churches all over America today who have their head and their notebooks filled with notes, but they're doing nothing for God, and God says that makes me sick. Man needs to quit changing God's word and saying it's God's word. You don't need the NASV, the NIV, the RSV, the NKJV. You don't need the HIV one for the sodomites. we don't need another Bible. We need to live what we have. I get a little tired of people writing new versions of the Bible, calling it a Bible. Those are man's words, not God's words. You know that the King James Bible is the only Bible that is not allowed in communist countries? There's never been a revival preached anywhere without the King James Bible. Well, others are easier to understand, and they want to call me ignorant? Well, all those these and thous, it's really not hard, folks. Thee means you. Thou means you. Ye means you. Got it? Most of the words you don't understand means you. That was real hard, wasn't it? 15 seconds, I just taught you how to read the Bible. And they say, I'm ignorant. Hello? Well, we've taken out the unnecessary. Oh, wait a minute. Who made you the judge of what's necessary or not? There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. And if God's a liar, we're all going to hell. Shut the church down. Let's just live. Boy, that's good stuff. God gave us a Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. John 16 verse 13 said that he will give us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which shall guide thee in all truth. Everybody look at me for a second. These charismaniacs that get on television and say, oh, I had a word of knowledge. Filthy, rotten liars. The Holy Spirit is God. He cannot work outside the pages of that book right there. He has to work in the confines of the Word of God, or he is not God. He is there to guide us in all truth. And that truth isn't that you're supposed to drain your bank account and send it as seed money, and that God will bless it. Bunch of filthy liars. Everybody doing okay? I believe we ought to obey God with our tithes and offerings. Yes, I do. But I'm not going to put a gun to your head and do it. Somebody comes to me and says, preacher, I think God wants me to sell my house and sell everything I have, give all the money to the church, and I'm just going to live by faith. I'm going to say, don't do it. You're an idiot. That's foolish. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. It's not found in the Scripture. The Bible says if a man won't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. You're not living by faith, you're living by foolishness. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. That's for all those that think I'm a money grabber. There's no need for God to speak when he's already spoken. My dad's not here. When I was a kid, he'd say, nope. And I'd say, but Dad, what about, he'd say, son, what didn't you get, the N or the O? What don't you understand? Have you ever heard that before? I heard it a lot. What don't you understand, the N or the O? He didn't say it again. Because if I'd asked again, we'd have had a board of education meeting applied to the seed of knowledge. That was called a whooping, amen? It wasn't a whipping, it was a whooping. May I say something? If God never speaks again to me, he's been so good to me, why should I worry? Amen. I said this a week or two ago. I was teaching in college one day, and a college student came and said, Brother Bush, if you had to choose between giving up prayer or giving up the Bible, and you had to give up one, what would it be? I said, I'd give up prayer in a heartbeat. He said, you mean you would forfeit talking to God and having your needs met? And I said, I would forfeit it in a second. Because the Word of God is God speaking to me, and what God has to say is far more important than what I have to say. Number two, when God does not speak, sometimes it's because we haven't spoken to him. Me, I'm going to make a statement here. Effective prayer is not rushing to God to ask. It's asking while you spend time with Him. Some of you, if your kids only talk to you when they want something, never said another word to you except when they need or want something, what's the likelihood of them getting it? God wants a relationship with us. Well, I'm not saying that children don't have the right to ask, but if that's the only thing they do is ask. God wants us to live and walk in His presence and not just run to Him and, God, I need this. You said ask, so I want this. Let me put it this way. God's not supposed to be the genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle when you want something and He pops out and says, let me grant your wish. God's not the ATM and you pop the card in and hit the number and He gives you what's there back. No. Prayer is a relationship as you walk with your God. And then you say, God, have you thought about, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. I'll get that for you, son. That's a wonderful way to live, isn't it? What a wonderful way to live. I'll use this. It's a little humorous, but there's some truth to it. Several years ago, my dad was buying a new car, which he does about every 3 years. He said, you want to go with me? I said, sure, I'll go. We were there, and of course, my dad pays cash for his cars. He'll trade one in and pay cash for the balance, and he's getting ready to write a check out, and salesman, he's licking his chops. And I looked at my dad, and he looked at me, and he knew where I was headed with this thing without saying a word. I leaned over and said, hey, you can't write that check. You ought to have seen that salesman's face. He said, why not? I said, that's my inheritance. This guy's eyes were bugging out of his head. I think his eyeballs actually hit his glasses. He said, son, if I kick off, you can have the car. I said, hurry up, sign it. That guy did not know what to do. We walked out. My dad put his arm around me. He said, son, that was really funny. He said, that was pretty good. He said, I'm going to tell your brother about that one. My dad knows I don't want his things. I want him. He'll be 85 in another week or so. I don't know how much longer I'll have him. But I'm going to enjoy every moment I have with him. I never talk to him on the phone without saying, Dad, I love you. I never leave his presence without hugging him. Say why? Because I don't know when the last time will be. By the way, 35 years of marriage, I don't hardly leave the room without telling my wife I love her. Never talk to her without saying I love you, because I want the last words that this old sinful body ever says to be, I love you. I do. God doesn't speak sometimes because we don't speak to Him. You know, we talked about Job last week. Do you know all the things that Job went through? God waited 38 chapters before He spoke to Job. Think of everything Job went through. God chose to wait 38 chapters to speak. And then, for 4 chapters, came unscrewed on him. But then chapter 42 comes. God gave to Job twice as much as He had before. How about we have that kind of relationship? Number 3, God does not speak when you will not listen. God does not speak when He knows you will not listen. God's not going to speak so you consider what he says, whether you're going to obey it or not. There are times people will come to me and they come with such an attitude that I'll say, now, do you want my advice or you just want to hear me talk? Because if you just want to hear me talk, go listen to me online. I got other people to help. If you're going to do what I'm going to advise you to do, that's fine. But we're not supposed to go person to person to person to person to person to find somebody who agrees with us and say, well, I sought counsel. Yeah, you sought it. You sought for somebody to agree with, not because you wanted the right answer.
That's right.
You know, you're not supposed to go to God and force him to agree with you.
Amen.
I hate to tell you something. Everybody look at me for just a second. You're not God. And neither am I, thank God.
Amen.
I don't claim to be. You know, we need to quit asking God to adjust to what we want. God's good as long as I get what I want. No, God's good whether it's going good or going bad. God's good when it's raining. God's good when it's sunshiny. God's good when you've gotten through the valley of the shadow of death, and God's good when you're entering it.
Amen.
God's good when there's no cancer. God's good when there is cancer.
Right.
You have to understand something. God did not change because your circumstances changed.
Yes,
I'm going to meddle for a second. You get yourself in financial trouble because you didn't follow the Bible's advice on finances and expect God to bail you out, why should he listen to you now?
Amen.
Didn't listen to him before you spent all your money.
Amen.
Ouch. When you choose not to live by principle all of your life and you live one emergency after another, why should he listen to you?
Amen.
Some of you live in crisis mode. You don't plan past the very next step. You hear the Bible preached and can't apply it from one situation to the next. The Pharisees had in their minds that they had made up that they were going to trick Jesus into all this. Everybody listen to this for a second here. I'm going to make a statement here. I wouldn't fight you over it, but you're going to have a hard time proving me wrong on it. I don't know that this lady was guilty of adultery. All of your Bibles will say the woman taken in adultery as a note somewhere. Jesus said to her, "Where are thine accusers?" If she were guilty, where was the man?
Amen.
We don't know that she was guilty of adultery. Well, they said it was in the very act. Key word, they. Do you believe everything you hear in the news? Huh. But it's amazing how much of it we do believe just because they said it. You older folks, those of you with all gray hair, not just like mine. There was a day when you could somewhat trust the news media. We're way past that. Well, Google said, Alexa said, Siri said, can I say something? This is the nicest way I know how to say it. Why do you trust something that doesn't even have a brain? That means you have less brains trusting something that had no brain. Yeah. You're trusting something that can do quick research to respond to certain questions. When you're putting yourself and putting your intelligence and your trust in something that does not have a brain, That doesn't say much for you. I told you I was going to meddle. Jesus said, "Where's the proof?" O.J. Simpson died this week. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand asking those of you who think he was guilty of whatever he did. But I will tell you this. None of you sat on the jury to find out all the proof. Neither did I. Not a one of us heard all the information. Say, "Preacher, what do you think?" I don't have an opinion because I didn't listen to all the information. Neither did you. It doesn't matter. I do know this. He's a sinner, just like you are, just like I am, as is appointed unto man, once to die, and after this, judgment. God will take care of it. Well, I heard, yeah, you heard it, but that doesn't mean you heard facts. You have an opinion based on what others said, not fact. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Number four, God does not speak when he has nothing to say. Boy, we should learn from this. Don't waste your time asking God to change his mind about what he said in his book. When my mom was near death, I did not ask God to spare her life. She was not going to be well. It would be selfish of me to ask God to spare her life for her to die again. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for God to spare someone's life in tough times. But we're all going to die. Don't get mad at God if he doesn't listen. By the way, God doesn't kill him. Sin does. The wages of sin is death, not the wages of God. God doesn't decide that. Sin does. Yeah, it's hard. Ladies, I understand a little. We have 5 grandbabies in heaven. My daughter-in-law lost 3. My daughter's lost twins. Do I understand it? No, but I do know there's hard days. But God's mighty good. God's mighty good. Everybody doing okay? God doesn't speak when he doesn't have something to say. Don't let God's silence cause you to change. It seems like when God doesn't speak, people say, "Well, God must not be in it, so we're going to change everything." That is the silliest thing to do. No, you keep doing what he said to do. You go to the average college campus in America and they don't have mommy and daddy telling their kids what to do because their mommy and daddy are silent about it. Look how much filth goes on at the average university. Because it's silent, they think, "Let's change everything." Boy, I want to preach there, but I got to hurry. How about we get busy obeying what God did tell us to do? Maybe he's just proud of watching us do it. I'm going to make a statement here. This one might shock you. Until you do not have a will, he won't show you what his will is.
Amen.
Until you die to your will, why should he show you what his will is? Till you're willing to do what God says, why should he tell you what he wants you to do? It would be easier if God came to us and smacked us over the head and said, "This is exactly what I want you to do." Now, that would be easier, but that's not how God leads. By the way, that's not how we're supposed to lead.
Amen.
I didn't hurt you, did I? I know you're weak and frail. Have a seat. Now, it'd be a whole lot easier if God did do that. Or God would open up and say, "Hey, you stupid idiot! Listen to me!" That's how we talk, not God. How about we learn to lead like God? I remember when I said, "God, I have no idea, but I'll do what you tell me." I was 13 years old. I was scared to death of people. I didn't want to preach. But I knew if I didn't, God was going to kill me. I literally believed that. And my youth pastor, "Good, you can preach tomorrow." You know how big that book is, and I couldn't find a thing to say. But God lit a fire. I went to through high school, went to Bible college. I still didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do for sure. Ended up getting married and told my wife, I said, "I have no idea what we're going to do, but it's going to be God's will." She said, "All right." Her last year of school, I graduated a year before her because I was smarter. No. she said, "Yeah, I was 9 months older than her, so I was a year ahead of her." We met with a man Brother Hiles asked us to meet with. We decided we would take the job that was offered to us in Long Beach, California. That was the years of Rodney King riots. I'll show you how silly I was. I flew out there, preached all weekend there, saw everything. She was back in Indiana. I got back, had accepted the job. We left Indiana in a Penske truck, drove from Northwest Indiana all the way to Long Beach, California with no GPS. Maps, paper maps. Have you ever come through LA with a paper map with someone that doesn't know how to read a map? Wait a minute. We got within a few miles of the church and she said, "Honey, do you know where we're going to live?" I said, "No." We had just driven 4 days with a moving truck, pulling a car, and I had just gotten through downtown LA. And we pulled up in front of the church and she said, "Do you know where we're going to stay?" And I said, "Nope, but I guess we're about to find out." I didn't have an apartment rented. I didn't have a house rented. I had nothing. Went in, saw the pastor. He said, "Have you looked at a place to rent yet?" I said, "I just pulled up in front of the church with my truck." He said, "Well, let's get in my car and let's go down the road here." And we went about six blocks down the road and one block over. We were at 6515 Cerritos Avenue. It was a little two-bedroom house. I think it's 748 square feet. This is in 1990. It was $1,000 a month. I could mow the grass with a weed eater. A little two-bedroom, one-bath house, $1,000 a month. I was choking. We were used to paying $270 a month and I was choking. He said, "Let's do it." I said, "Can I afford it?" He said, "I'll make sure you can pay the rent." Okay. You have to understand something. $1,000 a month back then was like $8,000 a month right now. It really was. I thought, "Oh Lord." For the first 6 weeks we were there, the refrigerator didn't work, and we lived out of an igloo cooler, getting ice every couple of days to keep stuff cold. I'm not kidding. We had a place to rent. I don't suggest you doing that. I don't think it's wise. But it was God's will and we were okay. My children can tell you they've never heard their mom and dad raise their voices at each other. And they can tell you every day of their life they've seen their mom and dad in the will of God. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I made sure we stayed in His will, not my will. You know, how about we continue doing what He said until He makes it clear we should change? His silence shouldn't change it. He'll let you know when it's time to change it. Number five, and I'll finish quickly. God does not speak when He cannot answer you. You know, sometimes we put God in a bad spot. I used to laugh. I've overseen several Christian schools in my life. You go to a ball game and you got two Christian schools filled with Christians on both sides, and both sides are saying, "Oh God, help us to win." Some are going to be happy, some are not going to be real happy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God just isn't going to answer because you put Him in a bad spot. Two Christians arguing about right and wrong, how about we just do what the Bible says and quit fussing with one another? You know, sometimes He's not going to answer because He already spoke and said, if you'd done what I said to begin with, you wouldn't be sitting here fussing right now.
Amen.
Come on now. Don't make God choose between two rights. Kind of like two guys at Bible college fussing over the same girl. One wins and the other one got her. God kept me from a lot of problems. Amen. You know, how about we learn to ask God for what He wants instead of what we want? Been many a times I wanted something and I said, God, this is what I want. But if you got something else, I'd rather have what you have. For about 5 years, I've prayed for 13 acres next door. It sold. I wasn't upset. I said, God, you got something else in mind. You've heard me say, if God wants us to have it, He'll get it for us. Well, He didn't want us to have it. I was praying one morning about it, said, Lord, a lot of houses, we got to have an expansion room. I'm not going to be able to get everybody in. And He said, have you talked to your other neighbor? No. I went over here and talked to Mr. Sloniker, and he's already given us 3 acres that we can talk about when we need it. It's actually better than the 13 acres over there. Our buildings could be side by side, attached into the same septic system and same well system. Whole lot cheaper. Maybe God knows what He's talking about.
Amen.
Maybe we ought to ask Him what He wants instead of us telling Him what we want. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Sometimes God will be silent. He's just going to stoop down and write in the sand as though He heard us not. I gave you 5 times where God will do that. I don't believe it's judgment. Sometimes, as in the case of this lady, it was to protect her from wrongdoing. Jesus was protecting a lady who was probably falsely accused. He just didn't say a word. Maybe we need to learn when God doesn't speak what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody in here today, God is speaking to. Your heart's been pricked. The Holy Spirit has nudged it, or maybe you've not even trusted Christ as your Savior. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Do you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. who'd say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure. I'll not call your name. I'll not come to you. I will not embarrass you." But who'd say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand?" All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Do you raise your hand?" Oh, my soul, scores of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if God's spoken to you, touched your heart, maybe you ought to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar. If you don't know for sure you're saved, if you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. It only takes 2 minutes. I'm not talking about joining the church or some weird experience. It's simply realizing we're sinners on our way to hell, that we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And by faith, you trust him. That's all it is.